Sheriff.
Well, I think Mr. Jesse is under the weather. I talked to him on Monday, and him and his family sounded like they'd come down with the plague. So I think I'll be running the net tonight. I put you down as my first contact. Over.
Well, good for you. Good for you running the net. I sure would appreciate it. Over.
All righty. Well, sir, thank you for joining us. I've got you down, so let me try to find some check-ins, and we'll get this party started.
That'll be fine.
Roger, roger. So CQ, CQ, CQ. This is KA8JOY with the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Substituting for Mr. Jesse. Please come now. CQ, CQ, this is KA8JOY for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Looking for check-in for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Over. Mr. Larry, you got a copy on me. N4ROQKAHJOY. I could hear Kilowatt Golf 4, and what's the last two?
The last one is hotel.
Oh, it's only one. I'm sorry. Mr. Keith in North Carolina, you have a short call. I didn't expect that. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, yeah. I wasn't quite tuned up on frequency, but I was giving Larry a call. I was calling Larry there, over. But I get, well, no. But I guess he's probably not on here yet. But I just thought I'd check in and let y'all know I'll be listening here after a while.
All righty, Keith. Well, that was you that was calling. I thought it was Larry checking in. It was you calling Larry. So I'll continue to look for check-ins. So far, I'm kind of low on some numbers. So stand by so we get this party started.
Clear, roger, roger. And maybe Larry will be in here shortly.
I'm looking forward to it. I already put him on the list. So thank you, sir. I'll be back to you. CQ, this is KAHJOY. Looking for check-ins for the Wednesday night Liberty Nest.
Where's Larry? That's Larry Rock there.
Yep, I can hear the click that his radio makes before he talks.
That's
good evening, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ.
Yeah, that's me.
Tuning this thing up here, I think I got it tuned up. Yeah, good to hear you there. Put me in as listening there for just a little while. I should have some stuff ready in a few minutes there. Do you need me to call you there, Chief? I'll be glad to call you.
No. I'm just checking in. I'll give you a call. I'll be listening to the net, and I'll be here at the workbench listening. I really don't have nothing bad to say. I listen to y'all. But anyhow, I'll just give you a call there and just see if you're around. And I guess you are. You just got in here.
Roger. Well, good to hear you, Keith. And I just put Mom, got her headed toward the bed here. And so I'll be ready as soon as I can, guys. I'll be standing by. So just put me on the list. And four, thank you.
All righty, Mr. Larry, I've got you on the list. I'll move you down a piece because you got a few things to take care of in the house. CQ, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday night Liberty Nest.
Oh, KAHJOY, this KG4H checking back for a second to tell you something.
Go ahead, Mr. Keith.
Yeah, there's a lot of rain at tropical depression or storms coming up out of the south, moving into the Carolinas here. So I don't know how that may affect the check-ins tonight, because it's quite a bit of rain, and there's some lightning activity in the storm. So I don't know, that may keep some people off this evening, but I don't know. But anyhow, I thought I'd let you know that.
Roger. Well, we had our fair share of storms last night at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and that storm has worked its way into Pennsylvania and headed towards the state of Virginia. So I wonder if those two storm systems will collide somewhere in your neck of the woods.
Man, I don't know. I hope not. I certainly hope not. But you never know. But it's a bunch coming up out of the south, checking it out on the radar, satellite radar weather a while ago. It's a bunch of it out there. So I don't know how fast it's moving or anything, but it's 74, around 74, 75 degrees. So that's certainly warm enough to create thunderstorms. Okay, I'm here in North Carolina. Yeah, okay, I'll turn it back to you. I'll be quiet, be here on the side list in KAHJOY in the group, KG4H.
All righty, sir, there's no need to be quiet. We like it when you're talking, so KG4H, KHLY. Look it, I see Clint, and I see Miss Laura. I got to check you both in. Get there. Not typing much. You can type. Come on. I don't want to hear this. You can type. Just use that little finger. You know, Use the other hand. You know, because if you don't type, I'm going to have to come to Pennsylvania and give you a spanking. So, and Mr. Clint, I've got you in there. K-C-H-E-H-R, K-H-O-Y. Sir, how are you copying? CQ, this is KJY. Mr. Clint, are you not able to transmit? I see that you say I hear you great, so you must be on an SDR. So, CQ, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Yep, you're on an SDR. All righty, Mr. Clint, I'll show you as listening.
W2GIO.
Hello, Mr. Frank. You know what, Frank? W2GIO. I headed towards Connecticut a couple weeks ago, and while we were on the western part of, we went through Pennsylvania, then we, I don't remember what roads we were on, but bigger than heck, there was Fishkill, New York.
Oh, sure. You cross over the Hudson River, and if you looked up to your right, up on the mountaintop, there's all of our club repeater equipment up there. That's Mount Beacon.
Oh, I was so excited. I told the guy that was driving, one of my trooper friends, I said, oh, man, we are near Fishkill. And he goes, so? I said, oh, well, you have to know this, because there's a backstory. He didn't know the backstory, so. All righty, Mr. Frank, I have you on the list. I'm going to do the opening announcements, and then I'm going to see if I have any late check-ins, and I'm going to move along. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest-running and only current events net, discussion net on Amateur Radio Now. And since the year of 1974, founded by the late Victor, I got the hiccups, W1WCR. The hiccups is not in the reading. This is the ArriumNet, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the Great Liberty Net. With that being said, I'd like to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let me release the microphone and see if I have anybody else standing in the wings, and if not, I'll kick this off. CQ, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'm going to do my first volley of information. Is going to be from Mr. Marty and Miss Laura from N2IRJ and N2JTT. And it reads, question from a North Carolina Liberty Net listener. This man wants a poll to be taken both Wednesday and Saturday night. The question is whether the United States should have withdrawn from Afghanistan in their entirety. Basically meaning, should we have totally abandoned Afghanistan, Dan, and not stayed there as a force and have a base there, because we had that one military base that we built up in the kind of the center of the country. This is to be answered on an individual basis and not pressured by any group think. I would let you know his thoughts on Saturday. By staying there at a reduced level, some strategic communications information might be obtained. That is a true statement. This is analogous to how American troops remain in South Korea, Japan, and other places. Well, we have troops in Germany. We have troops in Iraq. So, and I think we have troops in Syria. However, some will say to get the hell out and maybe the U.S. should have never been there in the first place. A tally needs to be taken, pro or con. So no pressure. No one's going to be judgmental. I'll say my part. We went over there because of 9/11. And I don't know why America doesn't act like it did during World War II. If you're going to go over to be retaliatory, you should kick their ever-loving ass and come home. We dragged that on for 20 years. There is young people, adults, that never knew what it was to live in Afghanistan without America present. So there are 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds that have never lived in that country without having America there to police their country. We can't be responsible for everybody. It's costly. I lost a child there. But for us to leave $82-83 billion worth of equipment and to exit the way we did, which I just don't know why we did it that way. I know there's got to be a motive, but we don't know it as Americans. But to have left all that behind, and now you're trying to negotiate with goat herders and killers. So let's face it, I don't think anybody would disagree. We're going to see those people in some form on our soil again someday. I don't know. It really is a shame. 20 years was too long. Again, we should have went over there, kicked their ever-loving ass, established a base, and maybe told them, let's stay under control, you boys. But we certainly did screw the pooch on that one. So with that being said, let me go to my first check-in tonight, Mr. Mo in the great state of Nebraska. Mr. Mo, KD0RSA, what say you? Over. General Billy, let me read something to you. Under the 18 United States Code, it makes it unlawful to knowingly provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization that has been designated by the Secretary of State. So that makes our president alone. He provided material support to a foreign terrorist. Millie provided support to a terrorist facility. Austin, they're all guilty of it. But I doubt we're going to see anything. But they all violated the Ohio Federal Code. Over.
Roger, roger. Investigating, but it's the Democrats investigating, and they won't do nothing. I'm sure of that. KD0RSA, over.
That is a true statement, Mr. Mo. It's definitely a different group. The Democrats just kind of like, oh, well, that's the way it goes. But they certainly rode President Trump like a palomino for 4 years. KD0RSA, thank you, Mr. Mo. Miss Laura and Mr. Marty, N2JTT, N2IRJ, good evening to both of you. Thank you for that poll question. With that being said, I'll go to Mr. Keith. So that's going to kind of obligate you, Mr. Keith. Again, if you don't want to answer, no problem. If you want to answer, we will be here to listen. Kilo Golf 4 Hotel, Mr. Keith, you're next.
Oh, yeah, okay, this is Kilo Golf 4 Hotel. Chicken in to the Liberty Net. I don't have too much to say. I'm just agreeing with what y'all are saying. I enjoy listening to y'all, and I'll just be Lahir List in there, and I appreciate you coming back to me there. So I'll be listening here back to you there, KAAJOIKG4H.
Alrighty, sir. Any comment on whether we should or should not have gone to Afghanistan, whether we should maintain a base there or totally leave? Over. Okay. Mr. Larry, are you available? N4ROQKHLY.
Yeah, I sure am. I got back here. Regarding the staying over there, I have to have a little more information about the minerals and all that over there. I would vote at this time. I would say I would lean towards staying because there wasn't that many troops there. They were just sort of helping keeping the air base. The air base is in our hands. Didn't take too many to keep everything going our way over there. There was probably, I don't know, less than 5,000 over there at the time. And so I think that would have been a good setup there in case Iraq or Iran had problems with any of those in the same way. They had at least a good air base there to escalate from and to use in our favor. So I would say no more than the amount of troops that were over there. It wasn't that many, just some troops training the others. And they were training a bunch of them. I would say hold on to it there for a while, and because Iran, I think, is going to be next in some way. And maybe they'll be back in Iraq with all the ISIS and different places there. So I would say hold tight, because you need a place for air bases, you need a good relay spot there, a lot of minerals, and very important things in the soil over there from what I've heard. But I'd probably need to research it a little more, but I would tend to vote right now. I would vote to hang on to the base and hang on to the keeping everybody safe there. Okay, here's a good article. I was surprised when I saw this. So I'll go ahead and get a small one or two first. This is regarding DeSantis in Florida. He threatened cities with fines for vaccine mandates. Now, he and the Texas governor are two very important people in our conservative group there. All these mandates and all this stuff, this is a socialist type rulers that want to tell you what you've got to do, and not even vote on it in the Congress. This is just Biden throwing mandates out there. This is from Orlando, Florida. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Monday threatened local governments with $5,000 fines for violation for requiring their employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus that has overrun hospitals and killed tens of thousands across the state. We are not going to let people be fired because of a vaccine mandate, DeSantis said at a news conference. You don't just cast aside people who have been serving faithfully over this issue over what is basically a personal choice on their individual health. And that is exactly right. I think they've proven that once you have it, and you've got antibodies are better than the vaccine. They've proven that they're much, much better than the vaccine, the antibodies in your system. And I think there's a lot of people out there saying, if you take this vaccine, it reduces your
immunity, your antibodies in your system, in your body, they are not as good anymore. It takes the effectiveness away. So remember that if you've had it, and your body has built up antibodies, and it should protect you much better than a vaccine. Keep people with vaccines who are coming up with this COVID-19 again, and so spreading it also. So it's not that good, I don't think. But anyway, just 3% of the population has been getting it anyway. 3%, at least maybe 3% or less are passing away. So I don't think it's any big. I hate to say that it's not a big thing, but I think if you take ivermectin and you take hydrochloroquine, zinc, and maybe an antibody type treatment or something, you're probably going to be 99% effective on it. And instead of going in, these hospitals are making a killing. They want to put you in there. They want to put you in these hospitals, and they get big money from the government, from the Biden administration, to say it is COVID-19 to begin with. And then they get big money on treatments in there. So they want to get you in that hospital, and they want to get you hooked up to everything they can hook you up to so they can bring more money in. There's no doubt about it. Don't take the shot. It's full of things that we've talked about in the past, and I'll be glad to go on if anyone wants to hear about this and different things that haven't heard about it already. Got a lot of problems in that shot. So anyway, let's see, I might have another one or two here. But I think I'll just go over this ivermectin. And this is an article in the USA Today that says ivermectin's used for COVID-19 grows. Carla Houchin and her husband, this is USA Today, and her husband Shannon live at their cattle ranch in Long Grove, about 8 miles west of Ardmore in southern Oklahoma. She and her husband work in the oil business, although Houchin primarily works from home as call support. On Christmas, Houchin and her husband gathered with their immediate family, but they realized something was wrong the next morning. Fevers came, body aches followed, and tests that day confirmed they had contracted COVID-19. That's when her husband heard of a peculiar remedy. We had friends calling us already that have cattle as well, and they said, "Hey, do you have any injectable ivermectin?" Houchin said. My husband said, "No, I've got the pull-on kind because we always kept the pull-on around." And they said, "Well, you need to put some on your wrist or on your vein somewhere and let it get in your bloodstream, and it'll help you." We said, "What?" They said, "No, it'll help you. We're being serious." The pain was so great for Houchin's husband, he decided to give it a try and rubbed it on his wrist on Sunday, December the 27th, and by Monday evening, he was fine. Houchin said, and when her own condition worsened Tuesday morning, Houchin said that she did the same as her husband, and within a day or two, I was good too. There is no evidence the ivermectin made the difference for the Houchins, and medical professionals have steadfastly warned against using it to treat COVID-19, but I believe they want you to go with what they have, which costs thousands and thousands of dollars. So ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, the malaria drug, are two reasonably cheap ways to treat this virus. Let's see, yet despite the warnings, the Houchins are among a growing number of people in the state and nationwide determined
to his treatment. The antiparasitic drug is commonly used in livestock like the Houghton's Longhorn cattle. Ivermectin also has been approved for human use, but it is prescribed for to treat head lice or skin conditions. Not wanting to spread the virus to others, the couple continued to quarantine as instructed, but days before the end of the 14-day period, the Houghton's were not exhibiting any flu-like symptoms. COVID-19 may have been mild and simply run its course, but the Houghton's are convinced ivermectin played a role. We lost their taste and smell for about 4 or 5 days, but as far as aching, fever, throwing up, and trouble breathing, we didn't have any symptoms like that. Potential adverse effects from use of ivermectin intended for livestock like dizziness or nausea did not show up in Houghton or her husband, she said. Others who have used ivermectin to treat COVID-19 symptoms, they say, haven't been as fortunate. Let's see, let's move on down through there. You can't take too much of this stuff because it is really concentrated. Dr. Douglas DeVries, that's spelled D-R-E-V-E-T-S, Chief of Infectious Diseases at OU Health, said he split the ivermectin users into two different groups. Those who are vaccinated against COVID-19 who want to try additional alternative treatment, and those who have declined to take the vaccine but are willing to take ivermectin. In the latter group, I think that either they think they have looked at new evidence or they have talked to others in their Facebook group, their friends, circles, national figures, who they trust to have thrown doubts on the efficacy or safety of the vaccine but are advocating ivermectin. I think that they fundamentally don't have either the training or the people they trust don't have the training so adequately to evaluate the data that are freely available. Let's see. The Houghton's are their own admission that fit into this group. Me and my husband have not personally taken the vaccine, Houghton said. I don't know enough about it. I don't know enough about the side effects, but we truly believe that the ivermectin kept us from having to go to the hospital. Going down through the article. Let's see if there's anything else that might come up. In 2015, the Nobel Peace Prize in Physiology or Medicine was awarded to the scientist who discovered ivermectin and successfully used it to treat roundworms and parasites in humans. Last year, an increase of ivermectin's use against COVID-19 in Peru, Guatemala, and other Latin American countries to the point that healthcare workers openly distributed about 350,000 doses of the drug to residents in northern Bolivia. The U.S. Drug and Food and Drug Administration repeatedly issued warnings that ivermectin had not been approved. But that hasn't stopped the huge increase in sales of the drug at livestock feed and tax stores throughout Oklahoma and elsewhere. Let's see, what is important to keep in mind though, that everyone is likely doing what they think is best for their health, that of their loved ones. People's continued use of ivermectin suggests that there is a serious lack of trust in public health officials in a lot of communities. So I thought that was a great article. It does say that these people felt better from this COVID-19 virus. They got over it, and everything seemed to work fine. So there's pills also, I've heard. So there's a paste and there's injectables. So if you use the injectables, you sure don't use very much because this stuff is very strong. You might want to use the paste like they did, or try to find some pills there. Anyway, I think it's great. I don't know if it's better than hydrochloroquine, but my gut tells me that hydrochloroquine is probably as good or better than ivermectin. So you guys, you can get it from the frontline doctors. You don't have to go to your, they won't give it to you at a hospital or wherever. You can call the frontline doctors, and there'll be someone give you, a doctor give you permission and send it to you. It may take several weeks, so if you want to get some beforehand, before you think you need it, or a loved one that you might want to help out with it, you might want to go ahead and get it, get your order in. It takes a while to get it there, so I think Bob and Jesse know about ordering some of that stuff. Thank you very much, Bob. Back to you in the net, Liberty Net. KHJY from N4RO County.
Comment. Go ahead, comment.
This is Kilowatt Charlie 4, Radio X-ray in Tennessee. David's the name. Larry, and for the net, you do not, absolutely do not ever ingest ivermectin into your body. You squirt it in a glass, mix it with a little juice or a little soda or a little good liquor, and you drink it, usually like 1.2 milliliters, 1.3 milliliters, somewhere you have to do it by weight. 110 pounds is 1 milliliter. You do not inject it into your body, the injectable. Squirt it in a glass and drink it. And India, I can't pronounce the name of it. I don't remember it that well, but it was something similar to Panjar. It was the largest province in India, the country of India. There's 245 million people there. And when COVID came to town, they started releasing ivermectin tablets to anybody that felt sick. They had just literally everywhere there was ivermectin to be had. That province with 245 million people at this point is 0.2% COVID. It's literally COVID-free because of ivermectin. These clowns in this country want you dead. I'm going to say the hard, quiet part out loud. These clowns people. That sounds far-fetched, and a lot of people say he's crazier than that bug. I am telling you, these people want us dead, and they're doing the damn level best to do it. They get you in these hospitals, they put you in the bed, and you're dead. My wife is a skinner buff. She listens to us all the time, and if you sit down by that scanner during the day or in the evening or at night, it don't matter what time it is, there's constant calls for people that have been injected with the vaccine. They've got this, they've got this. They need to be hauled to the hospital. There's blood clots, there's people dying, there's children getting sick from it. If those people are trying to kill us, I am telling you the truth in my heart. And with that, we'll say Casey is KC4X73. Back to net.
All right, it's KC4X. Say that again for me. I don't think I put it in the log right.
Radio X-ray.
Oh, I do have it. You're Dave in Tennessee, correct?
Roger, roger, roger.
All righty, Dave. Well, you might be crazier than the bed bug, but I think you're onto something. Look at what kind of money that they're saving by having COVID-19 take the lives of people that are on Social Security alone, that have also some other medical problems. How many people we've lost and how much money they're saving on Social Security.
Absolutely, I agree with you. I'm an old man. I'm 73 years old in another month. I've had COVID twice, 2.5 times actually. I've had COVID twice, and with the proper vitamins and minerals and the exercise, you got to, I'm going to say this out loud, you got to get off of your ass, and you got to get out on your local country road or in your yard. If you got a business, you got to get out there, and you got to make your lungs work. Get the lungs working, get air in and out, 2-3 times a day when you get the COVID, and there's a very good chance that you'll beat it because I did it, and I'm an old man.
Well, thank you for being with us, and you are speaking almost the gospel. Having a nurse practitioner for a daughter Those ventilators do nothing but allow it to drown you with like pneumonia symptoms. You have to get up, get around, get moving, and spit that stuff out of your lungs. So that is extremely good information, Dave. And Larry, I wanted to comment. I like how Newsmax has showed many of the CNN and MSNBC newscasters, especially that Rachel Maddow, and she keeps on talking about, yeah, these Americans, they're ingesting horse paste. Well, she doesn't even want to call it ivermectin. Ivermectin is a anti-parasite drug. So is hydrochloroquine. That is an anti-parasite drug because malaria is from a parasite. And what do you think COVID-19? It was gain of function using bats. So it is a parasite type of virus. So it's working, but they don't want to admit it, Larry, over.
You're exactly right. I think their aim is to get us to take the shot, the experimental vaccine. I really don't care anything about the number of people that have the COVID-19 or anything. They're just trying to get us to take the vaccine because they know what's in it and what it's going to do to our population. And it's going to take them way down and blood clots. Thanks for coming in there, by the way, giving those that information about ivermectin. There is a paste in the paste in the pills, and I think they're trying to cover those two up, hydrochloroquine and ivermectin. They want you to take some. They say that you can spend up to $300,000 in a visit to the hospital. So they're looking at all these $300,000 visits to the hospital and then possibly dying in the future. So, guys, I don't trust them at all. Please don't take the shot. So back to you there, Bob, in Florida. Okay.
I agree on that. I've not taken it. I have to tell this little funny. So I'm supposed to go to the local hospital for a minor test, one that they do on everybody when they stick a camera up your keister. So, but since I'm not haven't taken the shot, they want to do a COVID test. So they called yesterday and said, well, we want to schedule you for a COVID test. And I said, oh, goody, I want to take a COVID test. But I'd like you to test me also for the regular flu, for the common cold, for bronchitis, for strep throat, and pneumonia, and AIDS. Would you test me for all of those also? And the young lady on the end of the phone, I'm sure she just rolled her eyes because she hesitated, and then she said, I'll have somebody call you back, and hung up on me. What do you think of that, Larry?
Yeah, there's probably some course of secretary, and I'm sure she didn't know what to say at all. But anyway, I guess that was a good thing to say. Well, I hope everything goes good for you on that. I've never had one. I've never had one of those tests, but I know they say you can have polyps and all that stuff, and maybe so. So good luck on it. And I hope you don't have to take that. What is it? You go up the nose and swab way up in your nose and you know what it is.
Oh, the COVID test is horrible. They shove a swab all the way to the back of your brain and they bottom it out in your sinus cavity. It hurts and your tears just fly out of your eyes. It's horrible getting tested, but... There was a gentleman that was commenting. Do you want to come back with your call and state your comment, over?
Yeah, Kilo Indian 4 Oscar Sierra Hotel, K4OSH. How do you get in touch with a frontline doctor?
Let me have your call again, please?
Kilo India 4, Oscar Sierra Hotel.
I've got the Kilo India 4, but I just can't, for some reason, figure out the last three again. Say them again.
Old Southern Ham.
O-S-H.
All righty, Lloyd. Thank you. I'm sorry. I just, you said it in such a way I couldn't put it together. How do you get a hold of a frontline doctor? Well, I got to admit, I've been watching videos from Daystar.com. And they've had people like Dr. Tenpenny and a lot of these different doctors that are telling the truth. But is that what you're looking for as far as information?
Did you get that question there?
I don't want to answer a phone call from me, though. Aren't they the only ones that can write the medicine?
Well, you can get it if you look online at Franklin Pharmacy or CanadianPharmacy.com. They're like a mail order, and you can place an order with them. They'll use a credit card. It takes about 4 to 7 weeks to get the prescription. You can order 12 milligram tablets, which is the oral tablet. You would only take one of those a day, but you can go online and find these Canadian pharmacies that will provide this medication.
Curacell. Is it the hydrochloroquine, or what are they prescribing?
Well, the one I purchased was ivermectin. That's the one I purchased from CanadianPharmacy.com.
Thank you much.
Can you still get that at Tractor Supply, M4XYC?
It's my knowledge, yes you can. You can still get it at Tractor Supply because it's used for animals, but the animal medicine is as clean and sterile as human medicine. But I've not gone there and tried, but I've had people tell me they were able to get it from Tractor Supply.
Yeah, I was told that it was originally a people medicine for the parasites, and then they use it for animals too. So it's a people medicine. It was always a people medicine. N4XYC.
Yeah, it was originally used for ringworm, and I guess it's used a lot on horses for, I don't know if it's heartworm or what, but it's for parasites. And when you figure out how this COVID-19 came to exist, it was from parasites.
Exactly.
All right, let me go down to Mr. Clint. I know he's monitoring on an SDR. KPH-EHR, good evening, Mr. Clint. If there's something you would like me to say, type it in NetLogger, and I will bring it towards the group. Next on my list is Mr. Frank. I'm sure hope you're still with us in Fishkill, New York. Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar. How you doing, Frank?
Okay, W2GIO. And I just finished making a smoothie, chocolate, banana, blueberry, almonds, what else? String beans. So yeah, I'm getting more nourishment. I had a fever for a few days last week, and so I've been kind of laying low, and feeling better, but I'm not getting better quick enough. So I think I'm just gonna keep on doing what I'm doing because that's fine. I've had colds and stuff like that before, so I don't get all excited about a little cough or something like that. So anyhow, so the other thing, I really have no other interest to tell you the truth. just been kind of paying attention to getting my body back up to my speed. I did manage to go for a bicycle ride yesterday. And, yeah, did my 8 miles. So it really feels good to be out in the fresh air. We have a really nice rail trail over here. So that's what I was doing. So, Bob, back to you, and I'm just listening.
All right, Mr. Frank, thank you for joining us. When you say a bike ride, I think of a Harley, but I'm thinking you were using something that had pedals.
Yeah, well, I've got one of those, too.
Yeah, I don't have one with pedals. I only have the one with the two-cylinder engine in between my thighs. So, thank you, Frank. W2GIOKHOY. Let me go down to Mr. Dave again. KC4RX. Mr. Dave, what do you have to say?
Well, I really don't have a lot more to say. I think I said my piece and, stuck my neck out. But the ivermectin, you know, is that and hydrochloroquine are both drugs of choice. And if you could get either one of them, I'm sure you could keep yourself out of the hospital. At this point in time, it seems like the hospital is the last place that you want to go with the corona. I don't know. People keep taking the shots, and they have ill effects, and I just don't understand. I don't know why they can't possibly see that, there's enough people sick, and I think there's probably a very large number of people that have died, and I don't think that the government is being anywhere near honest with their reporting of people that have passed away from this COVID and the shots and all that. I don't think they're anywhere near or even in the ballpark but the number of people that have perished from this darn thing. And it seems like they do whatever they can to hide it. I know when it reached about 33 people, what they did is they just took the numbers off and started all over again. And I'm it just totally baffles me why people do the things they do. But I know it certainly gives no trust on my part to the government. And with that, I'll say 73 to the next. Good evening, KC4X 73.
Alrighty, Dave. Well, you haven't said enough. That's no problem. And I have to tell you, they did a survey at our local children's hospital here in this area, and they test everybody for COVID. But over 50% of the children that were in our local hospital were there for other things, broken bones, surgeries, injuries. And everybody that they tested with that rapid test, now mind you, there's 36 different forms of COVID. COVID-19 is only one. If they use the rapid test, it'll come positive for any corona-type virus. And they're saying these kids come into the hospital for an injury, and they test them, and they show positive for corona, and they use that as a statistic. The kids aren't there because they're sick. They have no symptoms. Apparently they, that got in their nose hole, but our bodies are pretty amazing at fighting things off, but yet they're skewing the numbers to cause fear in the American public. And so many people in this American public are sheep, and they're believing this crap, over.
In Canada, right?
Yeah, 4OSH.
Right, that's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes, sir, Bob, you're right on that. There was a, I'll tell you this quick and I'll get out of here. There was a radio station or TV station. It was a CBS affiliate, WHYC. I don't know where it was. I think it was in Ohio. But they wanted people to call in that were, or whatever, and I think they learned the truth. 39,000 people called in, and the majority of them were from people that had the COVID shots and were hospitalized and sick, and that had gotten a new case of COVID. And they said that, they've tried to demonize the unvaccinated. it, and it totally backfired on them. And it's used the people that are vaccinated that are actually making people sick. So that's where it's headed, as we can just get them. So what's the truth? And I guess the truth escapes everybody when it comes to this stuff, when there's dollars involved. And with that, I'll say 73, KC4RX.
All right, Dave, thank you for your input. Are you going to stay around, or are you going to call tonight?
I'm going to call it a night. Good evening.
All righty, Dave. It's a pleasure having you with us. Come back on Saturday. KC4RX, KJY. Next, I'll go to Mr. Lloyd, KI4OSH. Mr. Lloyd, your thoughts?
Not much. Just sending in listening. This is KI4OSH, Fairview, Tennessee. We got the first round of the Moderna about 2 weeks ago. And we got it, and didn't really want to get it. One of those things. We had a really good radio personality pass away down here by the name of Phil Valentine. He wasn't a real big anti-vaxxer, but, you know, he said a lot of what he was saying, and, you know, in the end there, he said he kind of wished he'd got it. But anyhow, nonetheless, you know, just I think people should really pay attention to simple facts and listen to your doctor, for one. Your doctor's going to tell you right.
Well, we can hope that our doctor tells us right. So thank you, sir. Appreciate you being with us. Any thoughts on Afghanistan either way?
The biggest thought I got of the night is General Miley. Why he's not in front of the court-martial at this point in time is just a joke. That's about it, guys. Thanks for letting me join in. KI4OSH.
All righty, sir. Thank you for joining us. So, with that being said, I'll clear with KI4OSH and look for any late check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Nest. This is KHOI. Whiskey 3 and say the rest for me. All righty, sir. Pronounce your first name for me. Mr. Dell, I keep track of who we talk to in NetLogger, and I put, you chose me your proper name, and I put Dell as your preferred name. So, with that being said, how are you doing this evening? What would you like to add to our conversation? And we have kind of a poll question with no judgment. Do you think that we should have stayed in Afghanistan? And should we have invaded them? Yes or no? Trump had a plan. The plan was to bring the Americans and the green card holders and the interpreters out, then our equipment and our troops. This guy, with for whatever reason, left $82-83 billion worth of equipment and armed the Taliban, which I just I hate seeing the photographs on the news of them driving our expensive armored vehicles around and flaunting it in our face. Hell, I guess we filled them up with fuel, changed the oil, and left them the keys. Over. A poor leader. And Afghanistan is kind of personal to me. I lost my only son after he served 10 years in the United States Marine Corps. He was a MARSOC gunnery sergeant. So he was amphibious force recon, which is like a Navy SEAL. So the whole Afghanistan thing is very personal to me.
Well, I'm sorry for your losses. I'm grateful for your service.
Yeah, and it's like Obama is pulling the string, so. Alrighty, sir, thank you. I'm going to go to the top of the list, but before I do, for my round, I watched the 9/11 remembrance, and I listened to George W. Bush. And I have to tell you, back in the day, George W. Bush visited my city. Back in 2003, the police department that I'm with, we were the part of the security. Of course, they brought, you know, their own people in, the Secret Service and that. But it was really a delight to meet George W. My Marine son was home, and he met George W. face-to-face. Well, George W. referred to the January 6th, they call it an insurrection, it's not, but January 6th, he compared that as he was talking on 9/11 to the terrorist attack. Now, George W. should only have talked about the just shy of 3,000 people that died that day, including the fire and the police that lost their lives saving people. So I had to pen him a letter. I have gotten really good at this. So I'm going to read it just for the enjoyment of the group. I mailed this letter today. Dear Mr. President, meaning former President Bush, the last time that we had a correspondence was on February 21st of 2012 when we exchanged military challenge coins. I received your presidential coin, and you received my late son, MARSOC Marine Gunnery Sergeant Robert L. Gilbert's coin. Before 2012, in the year of 2003, you visited Richfield, Ohio, where I'm an officer, and you physically shook the hand of my Marine son when he said to you, and I quote, "I am ready to return to Iraq and take the fight to them, sir." Gunnery Sergeant Robert served two tours of duty in Iraq, three tours of duty in Afghanistan, and lost his life on his 28th birthday in Afghanistan on March 16th in the year of 2010. Gunnery Sergeant Robert was honored to serve under you as the Commander-in-Chief while you were President. I can't speak for Gunnery Sergeant Robert. However, I am disappointed in you after your speech on September 11th, 2021 this year at the 20-year mark of 9/11. During an interview on April 20th this year on NBC, you referred to the Republicans, also known as Trump supporters. You called us isolationists, protectionists, and negativists. Instead of saying the Republican Party or Trump supporters are freedom-seeking, get government out of our lives, patriots. Mr. President, the Biden administration is killing America. However, you said nothing about that. Also, you have to admit, the Afghan pullout was a disgrace under the Biden administration. Also, during your 9/11 speech, you referred to and compared the January 6th protests as deplorable as the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Mr. President, let me help you with the history of the United States Capitol before January 6th of this year. In 1998, two United States Capitol police officers were killed in a shootout. 1983, there was a bombing at the White House. In 1954, five congressmen were murdered in the People's House. In 1950, President Truman's life was threatened in an assassination attempt. And in 1950, there was a bombing at the White House. January 6th was an unarmed protest, an exercise in the First Amendment rights by many American patriots, not an insurrection. Mr. President, please remember, the only death on January 6th was when USCP Lieutenant Byrd murdered Ashley Babbitt. Mr. President, please go back to being the George W. Bush I saw on September 11th, 2001, in the school setting when you were made aware of the terrorist attacks against the World Trade Center. My son died for this great country that Biden administration is destroying in only his first 8 months. So I mailed that today. I am looking forward to a response. Whether I get one or not, I don't know, but I certainly hope so. With that being said, let me go to Mr. Moe for the second round. KD0RSA, KAHJOY.
KD0RSA, Moe up here in Nebraska. Well, thank you, Bob, for taking the breath again. As far as that Ivomax stuff, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the vending machine and bought a whole gallon of it for $63. It's the paste or the pull-on, but it's still Ivomax, as far as I'm concerned. I imagine if it'll work, it does on cattle, so why wouldn't it work on a human? Anyway, well, it's great to get on the net, and as far as getting in out, I think we stayed way too long. Should have got the people that we needed to get out of there and then got out myself. Because the program that I did get to watch at a neighbor's place, one of the military fellows was teaching them how to dam up a creek and water their poppy crop. And all of that poppy crop back then, it might still be, I don't know, was coming over here to the bank, head honcho banks in this country, and they was peddling it out. And that's what I heard. In fact, there was a plane load of it came into Florida, and it was an Army plane, came into Florida with a whole load of poppy on it, and if he had went to Jones down there in Texas and told him what happened, he would have probably got killed, because they probably figured that he spill the beans on him. Well, he did spill the beans on him, but nothing was ever done over that plane load of poppies that came in here, which a bank owned over.
Yes, their drug growing days are going to be very, very plentiful again, Mr. Moe.
Roger. We got too many people in high places that are playing the odds against us. That's what I think. And they're all doing it all just for money. And they're all on one side, so they kiss one another's you know what and take care of each other. That direction. And people like you and me out here, there's nothing we can really get done about it. Over.
That is correct. They do kiss each other's butt. That swamp is really deep. All righty, Mr. Moe, thank you for being with us. I'm going to move along. But somebody yelled out they wanted a call sign. Over. Kilo Alpha 8, J-O-Y. Juliet Oscar the Yankee, K-A-H-J-O-Y. Roger. Well, thank you for asking. And I am looking forward to a reply from former President George W. Bush. I've exchanged challenge coins with him, so hopefully he will have some remembrance. I'm sure he'll make excuses, but I still had to challenge him. With that being said, let me say hi to Marty and Laura again, and to JTT and to IRJ, and I will go to Keith, Kilo, Golf, 4, Hotel. Mr. Keith, what do you have on round number 2? Nothing heard from Mr. Keith. How about Mr. Larry? N4ROQ. Mr. Larry, KHOI.
Okay, Bob, let's see. The Taliban flag was raised over the presidential palace here. This is Monday's paper. Sunday's paper, so they must have done it last week there. The Taliban raised their iconic white flag over the Afghan presidential palace Saturday. A spokesman said the U.S. and the world marked the 20th anniversary of September 11, 2001 attacks. The banner emblazoned with a Khor Anat verse was hoisted by Mullah Mohammed Hassan Aklan. That's a pretty long one. The Prime Minister of the Taliban interim government, in a low-key ceremony, said Aklan, in a low-key, multimedia branch chief of the Taliban's cultural commission. They got a lot of long words here, a lot of long stuff, you know, to be a backward country, don't they? The flag raising marked the official start of the work of the new government. The composition of the all-male, all-Taliban government was announced last week and was met with disappointment by the international community, which had hoped the Taliban would make good on an earlier promise of an inclusive lineup. 2 decades ago, the Taliban ruled Afghanistan with a heavy hand. Television was banned, and on September 11, 2001, the day of their horrific attacks on America, the news spread from crackling radios across the darkened streets of the Afghan capital of Kabul. The city rarely had electricity, and barely a million people lived in Kabul at the time. It took the U.S.-led coalition just 2 months. It took our guys just 2 months to drive the Taliban from the capital, and by December the 7th, 2001, they were defeated, driven from their last holdout in southern Kandahar, their spiritual heartland. 20 years later, the Taliban are back in Kabul. America has departed, ending its forever war 2 weeks before the 20th anniversary of 9/11. 2 weeks after the Taliban returned to the Afghan capital on August the 15th. Some things have changed since the first period of Taliban rule in the 1990s. This time, the gun-toting fighters don't race through the city streets in their pickups. Instead, they inch through chaotic, clogged traffic in a city of more than 5 million in Taliban-controlled Kabul in the 1990s. Barber shops were banned. Now Taliban fighters get the latest haircuts, even if their beards remain untouched, in line with their religious beliefs. But the Taliban have begun issuing harsh edicts that have hit women hardest, such as banning women's sports. They've also used violence to stop women demanding equal rights from protesting. Inside a high-end women's store in the city, Cart SE, neighborhood Saturday, Marzia Hamdidi, a taekwondo competition with ambitions of being a national champion, said the return of the Taliban has crushed her dream. She was among the women attacked by the Taliban and called agents of the West. During one of the recent protests, she said she's not surprised about America's withdrawal. This year or next year, they had to leave eventually, she said. They came for their own interests, and they left for their own interests. Hamdi is hoping the Taliban will relent and ease their restrictions. So the glance toward the store owner, Faisal Nazari, she said, most men in Afghanistan agree with what the Taliban say about women and their rules against them. Okay, well, that that's, you know, they're hanging, from what I've heard, they're hanging people, shooting them, cutting off their heads, cutting off their hands. You won't see all this, any of this, in these papers. You may see it on the internet from the people that tell the real story. So that's the way it is over there. Let's see if I can find another one. UK ditches their COVID-19 shot passport plan. Comes from London, the USA Today. Authorities in Britain have decided not to require vaccine passports for entry into nightclubs and other crowded events in England. Britain's health secretary said Sunday, reversing course amid opposition from some of the Conservative government's supporters in Parliament. Health Minister Shafi Jaffe, that sounds like this. This fellow here is a Muslim, said the government has shelved the idea of vaccine passports for now, but could reconsider the decision if COVID-19 causes or cases rise exponentially once again. We're looking at it properly, and while we should keep it in reserve as a potential option, I'm pleased to say that we will not be going ahead with plans for vaccine passports, Javid told the BBC. The U-turn came just days after both the government's vaccine minister and the culture secretary suggested that vaccine passports would still be necessary despite growing opposition from lawmakers. Other European nations, including Germany, France, and Italy, are using similar documents showing people's vaccination status as a way to reopen society, although the rules vary widely. And if they keep the country shut down, the longer they do, we don't have a lot of our products that are not being made, and they're just going to shut our country down and make us. We're not going to have enough food. We're not going to have the car businesses is shut down because of chips. You can't get anymore. The tire business, they can't get the amount of rubber needed for the tires. So if you guys need some tires, you better go get them before China purchases all of them. They get the first chance at the tires from these foreign countries that these tires are coming in from. That's just a few of the things. The longer they keep everything bottled up, the worse our economy is, and it just affects everything. To open it all back up, keep it running, you know, we've got a chance at keeping everything flowing freely and not being shut down like the Democrat socialists that are running our country now want it to be. So back to you there, Bob. Enjoying the net. Thanks for running it. KAHJLY on the Liberty Net, N4ROQ.
Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHJY. And you made mention about the minerals. I understand that Afghanistan has a lot of... Oh, crap. Now I can't think of it. Lithium. It's what's needed to make the rechargeable batteries for the electric cars. Over.
That's what I heard. I heard a lot of other... They've got a lot of other valuable minerals, in their country, which we don't have. I'm not sure how much we have here. We're just limited. I do know that China is trying to get everything they possibly can, all these different countries. They're trying to go after the minerals and go after the important things. They own 80% of the antibiotics. They own 80% of the antibiotics in our country. They could play hardball and stop all that from coming in. We'd have some terrible times there, along with a lot of other things they own.
So, I mean, I read a list of a few things last week. China owns in our country, and a few things that was not in the list, like they own Visa, the credit card company. They own a lot of things that I didn't mention, so I'm going to have to investigate it further. China almost owns our country as far as the farms. They own Smithfield Farms. It has over 500 farms and a lot of food manufacturing plants around, especially the South. They could shut it down that way. And they own quite a bit of the different things. I can't remember all the ones that they own. They own General Electric. But a lot of other countries own us too. But the Chinese are making it a point to get the good stuff. So back to you there, Bobby. Okay.
Yep, destroy America from within. That's true. All right, Larry, thank you. N4ROQ, KHOI. I'm going to go down to Mr. Clint, who is monitoring KCH-EHR. Mr. Clint, again, good evening. It's been about an hour and 15 minutes since I've seen anything from you on the event logger, so if there's something you want me to say on the 73 round, Mr. Clint, go ahead and type it in there. With that being said, I'm back to Mr. Frank after he made his delicious milkshake. Whiskey 2, Golf, India, Oscar. Mr. Frank, what do you got to say in round number 2? W2GIO in Fishkill, New York. Mr. Frank, are you still with me? Nothing heard. Let me see. How about Mr. Dave? KC4RX. Mr. Dave, round number 2. How about Mr. Lloyd? KI4OSH. Mr. Lloyd in Tennessee, what do you have for round number 2? Nothing heard. Last on my list is Mr. Dell. Whiskey 3, Delta, Tango, Papa. Mr. Dell, do you have any comments? Okay, I'm sad. Where'd you all go? So let me see if I have any late check-ins. This is KAHJOY for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Any late check-ins? Nothing heard? Well, I've got a small article that I'll read. It's kind of amazing, from the Western Journal. School district cancels 9/11 memorial. A high school in Minnesota canceled its students' plans to honor the victims of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack last week, and in doing so labeled memorializing those lost on one of America's most somber days as a political action. Never forget apparently means something different in Ely, Minnesota, E-L-Y, Minnesota, to adults whose job is supposed to be to educate and guide our children. In this case, those young people, students at Ely Memorial High School, wanted to plant American flags to honor every person killed by the radical Islamic terrorists on the day that forever changed the trajectory of our country and world, according to the report Thursday by Young American Foundation. In today's political climate, however, doing so is apparently controversial, even in a small town. So they wanted to plant the flag, 2,977 flags, in honor of the events in New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington. One flag for each person killed. The students scheduled a campus-wide moment of silence in prayer on September 11th at 9/11. They raised $540 for the nearly 3,000 flags. They took up the charge, and their planned remembrance ceremony was initially approved by the school officials. But days before the kids were sent to honor those lives that were lost, before they were even born, their principal blew the whistle on the event when a district parent became agitated by the YAF movement, the Young American Foundation. So the event was canceled on the 10th to commemorate the September 11th event. Thank you, Mr. Principal. So here we are in a flyover state in Minnesota, and some parent whines about it, and of course we got to be woke. We got to kiss their royal ass. The minority rules, and they cancel these kids' memorial of placing flags, 2,977 flags. How despicable. So there's another place that a letter needs to be written. With that being said, I'm going to go to Mr. Moe on the 73 round. Mr. Moe, your final thoughts, KD0RSA, KAAJOY.
KD0RSA, well, thank you, Bob, for coming back. I do appreciate it. I don't have much else to add. I had something on my mind that at this stage I kind of forgot it. So I guess I'll have to just pass it on as old age, you know, it's the only thing I know. Anyway, well, it's great to get on the net. I do appreciate it. And I couldn't hear hardly anybody again. I hope everybody can hear me. I don't know. You might ask them and see if they can hear me, because I can hear you, but not as good as I should. But maybe it's my ears. I don't know. Larry, I could tell he was in there, but I couldn't understand what he was talking about. And that other guy in Tennessee, I couldn't understand him either. So, North Carolina, I couldn't understand him either. So I guess I'm kind of here, sat here by myself, wondering what everybody else is talking about. So I'll just
have
to turn back to you,
KD0RSA,
over.
All righty, Mr. Moe. Well, thank you for joining us. I'll let Larry tell you whether he can hear you or not, but thank you for being with us tonight. And I went over to that band, 3860. My antenna does not like 3860. So I'm going to have to get my tuner out and put my tuner on that... on the wire and not use my amplifier, because my tuner is only set for 300 watts and my amplifier is 600. So I'm going to have to make a few adjustments to try to meet you on 3860. Over.
Roger. You're sure welcome whatever you can make it. Over.
I will do my best. Thank you for the invite. With that being said, I'll clear KD0ROSA. Let me go down to Mr. Larry. If you would shout out to Mr. Moe and let him know whether you hear him, and give me your final thoughts.
Well, yeah, Moe's coming in wonderfully down here, Moe. You're doing a great job down here. I guess I won't have to keep something in gear. I don't have hookups and get it up your way. Think about getting your antenna up a little bit higher if you have some access to higher tree limbs or whatever. And they'll help you also. And I've got mine up between 80 and 85 feet, but it may not be headed towards you. I think I'm mostly north and south. So I'm pointed at sort of... You're on the end of my antenna, Mo, so that's the problem. That's the problem, but I need to get something else up, too, that goes all the way around. So sorry about that. Maybe I don't think you're hearing me right now, but maybe I can work on it. You can always listen to the net. Also, afterwards, Paul records it and sends several people an email, and you might want to listen to it at your leisure, you know, after, you know, each week. So that would be a good thing to do for you also.
All right, let's see. What else we got here? The FBI releases declassified record on 9/11 attacks. I don't know what the, according to these FBI, I'm not sure it all happened the way the Twin Towers and another tower came down too. They told a lot of people that not to come into work that day. There's a lot of stuff out there that didn't all add up to me on these 9/11 attacks. I haven't really got down into reading all about the Pentagon attack and the airplane that went down and by itself and hit the ground and exploded. But there's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up. It could have been set up. You hate to say this about your own government, but they could set us up like they could set anybody up to get public opinion going certain ways. Anyway, it says in this article, it says details reveal two hijackers, Saudis associates in touch. Nation in the World, Knoxville News Sentinel, a declassified FBI document related to logistical support given to two of the Saudi hijackers in the lineup to the September 11, 2001 attacks. Details, contacts the men had with Saudi associates in the United States, but does not provide proof that senior kingdom officials were complicit in the plot. The document released Saturday on the 20th anniversary of the attacks is the first investigative record to be disclosed since President Joe Biden ordered a declassification review of materials that for years have remained out of public view. Biden ordered the Justice Department and other agencies to conduct a declassification review and release what documents they can over the next 6 months. He was under pressure from the victims' families who have long sought the records as they pursue a lawsuit in New York alleging that Saudi government officials supported the hijackers. The 16-page document is a summary of an FBI interview done in 2015 with a man who had frequent contact with Saudi nationals in the U.S. who supported the first hijackers to arrive in the country before the attacks. The document was released hours after Biden attended September 11th memorial events in New York, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon. Victims' relatives had said they would object to Biden's presence at those remembrances as long as the documents remain classified. The Saudi government has long denied any involvement in the attacks. The Saudi embassy in Washington has said it supported the full declassification of all records as a way to end the baseless allegations against the kingdom once and for all. Victims' relatives said the documents released was a significant step in their effort to connect the attacks to Saudi Arabia. Jim Kreindler, K-R-E-I-N-D-L-E-R, a lawyer for the victims' relatives, said in a statement that the findings and conclusions and the FBI investigation validate the arguments we have made in the litigation regarding the Saudi government's responsibility for the 9/11 attacks. This document, together with the public evidence gathered today, provides a blueprint for how Al-Qaeda operated inside the U.S. with the active, knowing support of the Saudi government. That includes, he said, Saudi officials exchanging phone calls among themselves and Al-Qaeda operatives and then having accidental meetings with the hijackers while providing them with assistance to get settled and find flight schools. There has been speculation of official involvement since shortly after the attacks, when it was revealed that 15 of the 9 attackers were Saudis. You know, if I was going to set up something like this, I'd have them, train the pilots over there myself. Well, I sent them over here, and they told the people that they just wanted to know how to fly. They didn't want to know how to land the plane. And, I mean, I saw a bunch of that stuff back when it happened. Why not train them in Saudi Arabia?
you know, I don't know why they would want to send them over here and give their plot away by saying they didn't want to learn how to land them. They just want to learn how to fly them after they were in the air. Osama bin Laden, leader of al-Qaeda at the time, was from a prominent family in the kingdom. The U.S. investigated some Saudi diplomats and others with Saudi government ties who knew hijackers after they arrived in the U.S., according to previously declassified documents. The 911 Commission report in 2004 found no evidence that the Saudi government has an institution of senior Saudi officials have individually funded the attacks that al-Qaeda masterminded, though it noted Saudi-linked charities could have diverted money to the group. I think the Saudis over here, or the Muslims, when they work over here, they send money back over there, and they could support any kind of terrorism they want to. It's just like all the Mexicans send the money back to Mexico that are over here. Not very much of that money stays in the U.S. It goes back to Mexico. So we'll stop it right there, Bob. Enjoying the net. Back to you, KA8JY from N4ROQ.
All righty, Larry. Well, let me scoot up here to Mr. Clint. I didn't realize that the net logger wasn't populating for me. So, Mr. Moe, Mr. Larry hears you, but I know, Larry, that Moe's antenna is about 60 feet off the ground, and he's pushing an amplifier, so I guess the only thing I could recommend is maybe at some point in time, Larry have a little more power. And then let me see what Mr. Clint says here. He was totally agreeing with Mr. Moe. He's asking, trying to find out how reliable Best News here is, but I haven't seen anything negative about them. Let's see. Clint also says, I agree with you. We should have gone over there, kicked their asses in a severe way, then left and come back home. Yeah, that is a true statement. We spent too much time there. We sacrificed too many lives there. Mr. Clint also mentions doctors are reporting an increase in cancer in the vaccinated public. There's a video produced by the Idaho State Governor's Capital Clarity. It's www.wnd.com, and then there's all kinds of stuff. 2021 U.S. doctor reports 20 times increased cancer vaccinated patients. So there's stuff out about that. Let's see. Excuse me. Clint is asking, what is the ratio? I don't know the ratio for liquid ivermectin, but I was told by a pharmaceutical person that you would take 12 milligrams of ivermectin in a day for 5 to 7 days. So the tablets are 12 milligrams, so when I do get the tablets, I will cut them in half and take it twice a day. So that's about all I know about that as far as the ratio. Let me see. Let me go a little further. He thanked me for the letter. Clint said that he hears Mr. Moe on the SDR, so that's good. So that's all the information I have. I'm out of people. Let me see if I have any late check-in. Let me go over here and click on this. Do I have any late last-minute check-ins or thoughts for the Liberty Net? Over. Nothing heard. Mr. Larry, any final thoughts before I close the door?
Now there's a lot of tax changes coming up with these Democrats, socialists. They're wanting to, they say, you know, we want to tax the people that are running the businesses, the people that are making the money. Well, you know, the people that have the businesses and they're making some money, and here they want to tax the people that are really job starters, the people that are supplying jobs in our country. But what they're really doing Now, I don't understand why the Democrats can't see this. Is you don't tax. You don't tax these people. They just turn around and add that as a business expense. Any kind of taxes or anything you put on them, they add as a business expense, and they add it in and go up on the product. So it just ends up costing more money for whatever product they're involved in. And these liberal Democrats say, oh, we're going to stick it to the rich. We're going to stick it to the rich. We got to get the money from them. Well, you're not getting it from the rich. You're getting it from the people that are buying the products. So they're not going to lose any money. They're just going to put that as a business expense and go up on the product to cover that. So that's my opinion of that there. And I guess that's all for them that I can think of right now, Bob. Thanks for running the net again. That's what I'll keep.
Roger, you're right. When they stick it to them, they're not going to take that out of their profits. They're going to stick it to you and I. So really, no matter what they do, it hurts the average person. And then that crazy AOC. Boy, somebody needs to take and beat her up. Did you see the dress that she was wearing in that fancy dinner? It said, tax the rich. She is such an arrogant little whore. She was a bartender. She's flaunting around Congress like she's somebody. She's part of the squad, of course. When she got into the Capitol as a House of Representatives for the state of New York, she requested a pay increase for all the House of Representatives. She lives in a fancy complex where no people that are average earners are allowed. So really, they keep on saying they're going to tax the rich, but they are the rich, Larry. Over.
That's exactly right. Obama just bought him a multi-million-dollar house just a month or so ago, I believe. So when he ran for president, all these Muslim countries sent him money through the internet so he could get in there and help them out. So that was well known. And I'm not even sure if he put his hand on the Bible to take the oath of the office. From what I remember, they went indoors and planted the next day or something and got the Koran out and all that stuff. So this guy was totally Muslim all the way. People supported him evidently, unless they used the voting machines like they've got now, and we didn't know what the heck was going on at that point. They could have been using them and pulled the switcheroo on us then too. So be good to know. So back to you, Bob, in Florida. Okay.
Well, the white population put him in office, and we put a black man in the office, and they're still not happy. I don't know how you can make him happy. You know, move along. I'm going to yell out to Mr. Moe. Mr. Moe, Larry hears you. I know you're having a hard time hearing him, but I wanted to let you know that Larry hears you, and Clint from Michigan, who is only monitoring on FDR, he also hears you. KD0RSA, KHOI.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I remember now what I was going to say. I was in town today at the coffee shop, and one of the fellows that lives south of town, he did take the shot, and he did get the shot. So there's no reason to be taking the shot and take the chance of getting one caught. KD0RSA.
Roger. Well, Mr. Moe, you take care of yourself. And for those that didn't hear Mr. Moe, one of his friends at the coffee shop got the dreaded shot and developed blood clots. So, again, if you take it, may God be with you, but I am going to do my best, my utmost, to not take this shot because there is too many adverse effects. I'd rather take my chance. I think they're saying, unless you have tremendous morbidity type of problems. You know, severe heart problems, emphysema, congestive heart failure, COPD, asthma. Diabetes, I understand, is a large one, and extreme obesity. It's a 99.87% chance of getting better, of surviving it. And like the one gentleman said that checked out, if you get it, you kind of feel like crap, go out and take a walk. Get your lungs working. You'll spit up all that mucus and crap, like get it out of your lungs. You lay on your back on a ventilator, and you're going to meet Jesus probably pretty soon. So, with that being said, Mr. Larry, I think that's about it. I think I'm going to close the door. Over.
All right. Sounds good. A lot of good info. Remember the net, second part of it, or the Saturday night net, is an entity entirely by itself also. And really enjoy the Saturday night net and the Wednesday night net. And hopefully, what I want to do, I love Trump's speeches. I love that he's going around doing these and talking about the things that the Biden administration is doing. And the only place that you'll see any info on his speeches, of course, the Right Side Broadcasting, and there's a couple more. There's a couple more there that have his speeches on tape. But a lot of the places he goes, there's a lot of Republican senators and legislators and governors, and they get up and give speeches, and they are very knowledgeable. So I love the speeches, and one of them even played one of Patton's speeches while Patton was the military leader over there in World War II. And it was a great speech. I loved it. And so don't forget about those. Tune up, get on the Right Side Broadcasting, tune it, Google all that. Watch his get-togethers. There's thousands and thousands of people still going to those get-togethers that he has, and they are really informative. Really informative. Now, I do believe he's going to run again, and him or someone like him is our only chance to get rid of all these socialist Democrats, and there's no way that you can ever appease them in what they've got planned: electric cars, windmills, their EPA standards and everything, or they're going to drive all of their factories, any kind of business, out of this country because they are wanting it to be, they keep saying climate change is going to kill us, climate change, but it's not our... not our environment that we're causing it's doing it. It's just the natural flow of things in the atmosphere and the planets. The planets have a lot to do with how our weather is. So anyway, these socialist Democrats are going to play this COVID-19 to the hilt. They're going to try to get us all. Make all of us take this poisonous shot, which does seem to have cancer involved, does have autoimmune diseases, aluminum particles in it, and a lot of people are passed away just from the shot, along with the blood clots. So why in the world would you want to take something like that? Search your mind there. A lot of these doctors, just 50% or less of the doctors have taken the shot. So you may get some different answers from them. They probably signed on with the money deal in this, and they're the hospitals are getting up to $300,000 to treat these patients. This COVID-19, if they don't want to give them something that clears it up, they can keep on, put you on ventilators and
you know, it might, you might not be around too long with all the stuff they're doing to them nowadays.
But why not do the ivermectin, have it handy, have the hydrochloroquine handy? And also, antihistamine tablets help, from what I understand. Zinc is very important. You need to take some zinc. Anyway, I think that's all I can remember right off. Just remember, you need to get the word out to the people. Shoot, don't take the vaccine. If you have, if you think you've had COVID and got over it, it's, most of the time it'll just last a day or two. I'm sure that I've had it, my mother's had it. Your antibodies are hundreds and hundreds of times better for you. They'll work better in your body and clear up any kind of viruses, COVID-19 or anything. Once you've had it and you know, you got your antibodies in there taking care of it. So just remember that. So back to you, Bob, from N4ROQ.
Alrighty, Larry, thank you for joining us tonight. We had 10 total participants, and hopefully Saturday night Jess will be back. He was feeling pretty sick when I talked to him on Monday, so hopefully we'll have Mr. Jesse back. With that being said, as I close the window on this night's LibertyNet, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to Silent T, W1WCR, Mr. Victor, to Mr. Vern, W9FAM, to Mr. Jim, KE8INE, Mr. Robert, KN4CM, Mr. Mike, N3GVA, Mr. Frank, who was one of our gunners, and I believe passed from the 9/11 inhalation of that disgusting stuff and got cancer, W2WCW, Mr. Harvey, W8MPB, Mr. Harrison, K4GAR, Mr. Dennis, KB2DYB, Mr. Eugene, KE2LO, and Mr. Mike, KI2J. It is my prayer for God to bless sunrise tomorrow on you. This is KAHJOY with the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Good night. Mr. Mo, I think you are totally on to something. We've not seen the worst yet, but hopefully we come out of this on the other side. KD0RSA, good to hear from you. Good night.